You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the KMC, Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Bump, and I'm happy to be with you on this episode as we look at some technology talk and an incredible new book by Matt McKee called Parent Chat, The Technology Talk for Every Family. And I am one who loves to dabble in technology. I like to think that I know more about technology than I do. Which is usually not a whole lot. Most kindergarten first graders probably know way more about tech than I do now. But I do know that as a parent of four kids and as a children's pastor, one of the things that we are competing with in this world is technology. And how do we protect our kids? And what can we do? And when I found out Matt had written this book, I got a copy of it right away. Actually bought the hardback and bought the ebook because I wanted to get my hands on it as quick as I could. And it is a great read, one that I definitely will be using with my church families. So I wanted to bring Matt on to the KMC so that more people could hear about this and get their hands on it, and also hear about another piece of technology that Matt was instrumental in. And so we'll talk about that too. So Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Tom, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. I also appreciate the invite. You reading the book already. I mean, there's so many things I could say thank you for.
Well, it's my pleasure. I appreciate your friendship. We met a couple years ago it's been a long time, I guess, but back at Orange Conference and I'd followed you online before. So Matt, tell us a little bit, just in case there's somebody who's been living under a rock and doesn't know who you are, because they ought to know who you are. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, it's kind of crazy to me. I was a pastor for 10 years, being in the church and around the church. And then, from there, starting a bunch of different companies. And I like to say I failed gloriously at least four times. And along with that, I've had a wife. We're actually celebrating 17 years, which is pretty fantastic. And we've got two boys. My oldest son, his name's Patriot, and my youngest son, his name is Aslan. And, along with starting companies, being a parent, well, you can have some glorious failures in that as well. And in reality, that's what is the driving force behind this book called Parent Chat, is me as a dad. I like to think of myself as a technologist, but when I get around true technologists, they look at me as a pastor. And, I've got a friend who also speaks at his church and, they see him more as a pastor, but in reality, he's more of a technologist. So, in this realm, you can be all kinds of different things, whether it's a pastor, a technologist, or a parent. And with this particular project, I wanted just to look at what it meant to look at technology maybe from a different perspective. Because in today's world, we are in a connected world. And it really is no longer about online and offline, but how those two worlds have merged. So my hope is that it's no longer just about fear, but it's giving parents hope with the tools that they already have to help them understand that technology just happens to be something maybe the latest and greatest. But even that being said, they can still be incredible parents because of it.
So give us a little nutshell Reader's Digest version of what Parent Chat is all about.
Well, Parent Chat truly is the conversation that I hope every parent has with their children. Meaning, how do you have a healthy relationship with technology? And, for me, it started off, my oldest son, Patriot, being curious. And kids are. Whether that's curiosity, when they get on a bike and, travel around the neighborhood, or whether that's curiosity when they are given a handheld or a mobile device that's connected to the internet. Now, what's amazing to me is when that son or daughter gets a bike, we tell them what their boundaries are. We say, hey, don't go past that street, stay in the neighborhood, be back at this time. Like, there's all these different things that we do instinctively as parents. One, because, well, that's what was told to us when we were growing up. But what doesn't happen is when we hand a mobile device to our kids, do we give them the same boundaries? Or at least instinctively, we don't. So what happens is, you know, we'll even give a 3-year-old an iPad and they'll be, you know, connected to the internet. And now we're saying, hey, congratulations, you have access to everything in the world.
Right.
And, you know, in reality, we know that that's not right. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that there's a bunch of content online that our kids shouldn't be looking at or experiencing. And we even know that at 8 years old, they shouldn't have unfiltered access to everything. And the amazing thing is, different stats that I'm reading, by the time the end of 2017, by the time we get there, more 8-year-olds in the United States will have a cell phone than those that don't. So, you know, you're like, whoa, at 8 years old. And yeah, I mean, even at public schools for my 11-year-old, so he's in sixth grade, their assumption is, hey, if you have any travel things that you need to change during the day, if you need to communicate with your child, just send them a text. So even at the public school where I live, their assumption is every kid is coming to school with a connected device that can, for the most part, even access the internet. So, you know, this world that we're living in, we have to now not only have guidelines and boundaries and other things when we send kids out on their bicycles, but we also need to start thinking through what does that mean when it comes to technology. And that's what it is. That's why I wrote this book. And you know, through my oldest son's curiosity, finding adult content, passing it around at school, all those different things led me to, one, having my heart broken as a dad, and two, us dealing with this as a family about what it means to have a healthy relationship.
So why do you think most parents don't look into this? They just, like I say, hand their kid a phone or an iPad. Why is that? That, you know, I mean, knowing that most people assume there's danger out there, why do they, why do we do that?
Yeah, one, because it's easy. I mean, if you're sitting out and you're going out to eat and you've got two kids and you have two devices that you can hand the kids, and all of a sudden they're not bugging you anymore and they're not disrupting the restaurant and running around and, you know, they're actually quote unquote behaving in the real world, then yeah, it's just real easy. It's real easy to hand the device, which, you know, I've been guilty of. I mean, that's not a no parent should hand a device to a kid at a restaurant. Don't hear me say that.
Right.
What it is it's just the convenience. And being connected at all times is also a convenience. But if we did that with anything else in our lives, we'd go, well, that's bad. If we did anything else that was always on, like if the TV was always on, we'd go, well, that's not a good thing. If we were always eating, we'd go, well, that's not a good thing. I mean, so even in within our technology and our consumption of the internet, we have to be careful. And, you know, I think also, so convenience is one. I think the second thing is it's just new. And parents don't feel like they know as much as their kids, because instinctively they saw the 2-year-old pick up the iPad, be able to open it, be able to see what game it is, to be able to play it, to, and they go, whoa, they're so smart, advanced. They're, so there is this also fear that they know something that I don't know. And that really isn't the case, because we're all learning it at the same time. Especially, and this is one of the big points in the book, if we can get parents to be curious again, I think it would truly help. So, you know, the convenience, ease of use, the whole kind of fear thing. I think those are some of the things that are driving it.
Yeah. I think it's funny as you were sitting there, I was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't, obviously my kids, well, now they're all in their teen, well, one, only one in their teens, are all in their 20s. So I'm dating myself, but yet we used to, you know, we didn't have the iPads or anything to hand to, but we would pop a DVD in, or even going further back, a videotape, and have them watching, you know. And nowadays, yeah, I can see how we do that. Well, you know, a lot of people see, you know, there are some to the other extreme where they may be too casual. There's others that are just totally freaked out by technology. And I know in your book, you talk about some paths. You talk about three different paths of response that people can handle when they're, or take when they're looking at technology.
Yep.
Can you talk about the path of acceptance, the path of rejection, and the path of relationship? Talk about, because I found that very interesting, because I saw myself in almost every one of these. I've been down all of these paths, a little bit of everything, I think.
Yeah, so the path of acceptance truly is parents that just say, hey, we're going to have the latest and greatest. We're going to do whatever is the most convenient. And, you know, whether it's the Amazon Echo, we're going to bring that into the house, or, you know, the Internet of Things, every connected device, as soon as possible, we're going to have it in the house. And, you know, some, I think I've been one of those guys. I've been, innovating for those types of things. Don't get me wrong. But I think you also have to ask a question anytime you bring in new hardware, anytime you bring in new software into your family, and, you know, dealing with that. So not only do I think it's not the right step to accept everything, I think, you know, I think you have to pause a little bit and just ask some questions. I mean, if I go back and I look at what I was posting in 2012, let's say, on Facebook, I would go, I was very much an oversharer. Like, and, you know, a lot of times I should have paused, I should have asked better questions. So, you know, those are just things that you learn along the way. The path of rejection really is, this is just bad. Like, we've gone as far as I need to go, and, you know, that's enough. Well, there's communities out there that have drawn lines, you know, throughout history to say we've gone far enough. And when you do that, what you're saying is, as culture shifts or as culture advances, I'm going to lose my influence in culture or in the community. And a prime example of that, and I've got friends who are Mennonites, I've got friends who are Amish, and because of their faith and because of some of the lines that they've drawn, I would say that they've lost influence within our country and within even some of their communities, because they've said, hey, we've gone as far as, you know, we're going to go from a technology standpoint, from a lot of different things. And I have a lot of respect for them. I have a lot of respect for their faith. I have a lot of respect for who they are. I would just say that we disagree, because they've decided that they're going to reject a lot of different things that have come, you know, in the form of advancements. So, you know, I tell families, what I really want you to do is have the path of relationship. And what that means is you're asking questions no matter what, you know, those things are to come in, and you're valuing the relationship over any piece of technology. So, or anything else in reality. So if it is going to hinder, or if it's going to take away from the parent-child relationship, then it's something that we need to have a healthy relationship with, so it doesn't get in the way of other relationships that are more important. So those are the kind of three paths that I think right now we're kind of seeing.
Yeah. I think that's really good. When we think about as parents, and well, specifically, I want to take this to the angle of for kids ministry leaders, since that's predominantly our audience. As kidmin leaders, how can we help parents find that balance, a healthy balance, with embracing technology, but also helping them figure out how do we set up borders? I mean, obviously, one is to get this book in their hands. I really do believe that. I really think this is such a great primer, if you want to call it, to start at least getting parents to think about technology. Because like I said, I think most parents don't give it a second thought. I never did as a parent of throwing a DVD in. I wouldn't think today, if I had younger kids, I probably wouldn't think twice about handing them an iPad. Mm-hmm. You know, but so how do we as Kidmin leaders, how do we help parents? How do we assist them in this area? Because I think we always are looking at the quote unquote spiritual side of things. And this is such a spiritual issue because, you know, and you probably know the stat. I meant to look that up before the show, of how early kids get exposed to pornography. So why don't, you know, I mean, again, how do we help parents? I guess we'll boil it down to that question. How do we help parents in this area get started in this?
So first and foremost, it's the same way that parents are going to help their kids. And it's in the way that we model our behavior and our relationship with technology. So, prime example, if you're asking parents not to be technology, you know, to have a technology addiction, then, you know, one of the things that you have to just keep in mind is when you're sitting down with them, whether it's over coffee or however, you know, you're in front of them in some form or fashion, not to stop and go, oh, excuse me, I have a text message. I mean, that's just one prime example to go, hey, wait, this technology is more important than the relationship that I have in front of me. So when you do that, then, you know, it's one of those times that you go, hey, wait a minute. I don't always have to be connected. I don't always have to be, you know, in a relationship with technology where technology is in control, which is a lot of times what happens. Especially to pastors, because you may be counseling one person and then, you know, during that counseling session, you get three more that kind of contact you during that time. And if those three are more important than the one that's in front of you, I think you need to ask some questions, I think. So, you know, that's a little bit of it. The other thing is really keeping up as much as you can. I'm not saying you have to know, you know, how to jailbreak your iPhone or that you have to know how to code different websites or anything like that. But I do think that there are a lot of different resources that are going to be coming out, not just this book, not just technological solutions as well. But it's being informed in the conversation. Because this is one of those problems that every parent has to face and every parent has to have at least an answer to. So having, you know, one or two, three, four different things in your back pocket, I think would really help.
Yeah. So one of your chapters, you talk about good conversations start with good questions. What are some questions that we as kid ministry leaders should be asking right now when it comes to this area?
Well, in the book, I talk more specifically about the parent and child and some of those questions, but right. I think those same questions are very, very good when talking to parents that have kids in your ministry. Like, if you really want to know what is going on with the parents in your ministry, ask them, "Hey, what are you guys finding interesting right now? That you're seeing, that you're hearing, that you're experiencing? What's interesting to you? What's some of the craziest things that your kids have done in your house, in your neighborhood? What?" And then they'll tell you stories. They'll tell you stories about what their kids are doing. They'll tell you stories about what their friends are finding interesting. And then finally, you know, one of the questions, and it's truly one of my favorite questions of all time, whether it's you're a parent with your kid, you're, you know, a children's pastor and you're talking to parents, if you really want to get down to the bottom of it, just ask the question, can you teach me how? Or can you teach me why? Or can you teach me what? And that posture, that position that you're taking in terms of wanting to learn and wanting to figure out how you can partner with them better, can you teach me how? You know, the best relationships that I've had in my life have been in that vein. whether it's a mentoring relationship, a friendship, even with my parents and even with my kids, that posture, that question will go a long way.
Yeah. You know, as I read the book, I was thinking, this is something that I want to teach my small group leaders to ask, because I think it'd be good, especially for those in the, well, third, fourth, fifth grades, they ought to have these conversations with the kids. Again, just so that that way, I was thinking about it from this angle, that because like you said, the parents need to build that relationship of having conversations so that the kids don't feel like they're being FBI interrogated.
Right.
Because I know you talk about how, you know, that keeping that rhythm of just having conversations so that your kids feel freer to talk about these kind of things when they do struggle or when they are uncomfortable. And I think if our small group leaders are modeling that, I think that'd be a cool thing, because then the kids are going to go, oh, hey, you know, my parents have, you know, I think it would open the door for even parents. It'd be a better way for us to partner with our families.
And, you know, you will find out a ton. Like for me, those questions led to me understanding that my son had been exposed to pornography. It also helped me understand, and literally this was last week, you know, my son asked, hey, can I go play basketball with some buddies of mine outside? And we were like, yeah, it's after school. Here's what time we're going to pick you up. You know, he's really wanting to play basketball right now. So it's great. It's practice. It's not on a screen. You know, all these different things. Well, we go there. My wife goes to pick him up, and he gets in the car, and she's like, hey, what's going on? You know, and did something crazy happen? Like, what's? And he goes, well, there were two seventh grade kids there who I know are bad influences. And I know that, you know, I would not do well if I was playing basketball with them today. So that connection, that relationship, that, you know, him knowing who he is, that's huge. So, you know, those questions lead to information that's pretty vital as a parent.
Yeah. So let me ask this question too then. So as we're learning more, how do you stay up to date with the technology? You talked about some of the things a little bit, but how do you specifically stay up to date? And what are there some resources out there that we as kids pastors, kids ministry leaders should be aware of that would help us so that, again, we can pass that information on to our families?
You know, one of my favorite sites, just to kind of keep up to date, is iParent.tv. So the letter iParent.tv. It's run by the same organization that does XXXChurch.com. So it helps men, women who have, you know, adult material addictions. They help them, but then they also have this platform where they're keeping parents and other people up to date with the latest apps and the latest technology that is out there. And they do a really good job staying up to date. So I definitely use that as a resource. And, you know, if you just more general, if you want to kind of keep up, you know, you can go to Mashable.com, Engadget.com, TechCrunch.com. Those are just, and just quickly go through it. You don't have to know that, you know, so-and-so got funded in their A round and, you know, all those different things. But you can go, oh, there's some changes that are happening to Facebook, or there's some changes that are happening to Snapchat and what that means. There's some changes that are coming to Instagram. And, you know, that's the thing about technology. It is always evolving, always changing. So you could go there, you know, even once a week and get the highlights and you're good.
And so, another question that I was thinking of as I was reading this book and is thinking through this, what can we as church leaders do to help better protect our kids? Maybe they don't get the support at home, or the parents aren't going to do that. What can we do on our level? Because you've been a kids pastor. So if you were in a church full time again, how would you handle this? What would you do to encourage your kids to be safe online?
Well, the first thing is to make sure that your internet at your church is filtered. I'm amazed by how many churches I walk into and they have a guest network and literally you can get to any content that you want. And you know, I think again, it's a modeling issue. So if your church is going to have, you know, free internet access, which I think it should, then make sure that, you know, there are filters on it. And, you know, there's times that, that you can even shut it off. I mean, you know, there's devices and technology solutions out there that you can even say, hey, from, you know, midnight to 9 a.m. or whatever you want to say, you know, we're not going to have the internet on at our facility. And that will just discourage people from hanging out around your building to all kinds of other stuff.
I like that. I like that. Well, in fact, let's talk about some of that technology that's out there, because I know you were pretty instrumental in this whole thing. And in fact, the first time I heard about it was Circle by Disney, was through you. And so tell us about Circle, because this is a really cool device that parents, that churches ought to get their hands on and have installed.
So Circle with Disney is a wireless device and mobile device management solution. So it's one of the very few, if not the only full solution that parents can have that, one, there's a device you put into your home. It wirelessly connects to your internet, to your router. So you just plug it into the wall, download the app, 3 steps, you're up and running. From there, you can set filters by age. So if you had a preschooler, there's that option. If you had someone in elementary school, there's that option. Teenagers, adults, or you can even go unfiltered if you really want to. For me, the unfiltered are things like my lights and my thermostats and stuff like that. So, but that way we all can see this is how much time, because it tells you how much time you're spending in different apps, how much time you're spending on websites. It tracks all these different things so that you can even limit. Like for my kids, I can go, hey, you can only be on YouTube, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours a day. Like you don't need to be on YouTube more than that, and that's for sure. So no matter what they're on, whether it's mobile devices or computers or even the Xbox or Wii, all of those devices, when they're combined, they get 2 hours. And that means whether they're on Wi-Fi or whether they're on, you know, the cellular network. That's why we do mobile device management as well. And there's an app that you can install on the phone that gives you insights to where you can monitor and filter and put time limits on and bedtimes for those devices so that they no longer can connect to the internet. And it all comes back to you as a parent in one simple place that you can go, okay, here's the limits, here's the bedtimes and all those different things. And what's nuts is, you know, it's a group of guys out of Portland, Oregon, that I found a couple years ago and said, how can I help? And this was even before Disney got involved. And I am proud to say that I've helped them along the way, and I continue to help them grow. So it's an honor for sure.
Yeah. And I'll make sure that I am going to put up a link on our KMC Facebook group again for Circle, because I really do think people need to check that out. Because I do think, you know, and you've said it a number of times, modeling. Obviously, that is a big thing in your heart, is that we as parents, we as leaders, we need to model more for our kids. And I know I've heard Brother Jim say it, you know, more things are caught than taught. And the kids are going to catch us, and they're going to see us on our phones. And I love what, excuse me, Chick-fil-A did, you know, a while back. I heard about the boxes that, you know, you could put your phones in a box and have an uninterrupted meal. And
yep.
And I think, goodness, I think more of us need to model technology. I can even laugh, and our family was camping a couple of months ago, and we were sitting around the fire, and I don't know if the fire gave off more light or it was our devices that were giving off more light, but we had quite the glow going on There was an orange and there was a blue going out around our campfire. And it hit me that, you know, even though my kids are older, I should be modeling that, hey, we can turn off technology for a while. And I know when, you know, I've seen people do it, you know, they do a technology fast for a couple of days or whatever, and they talk about how awesome it is, but yet we don't do it that often. So, what have you learned from modeling about even your own habits and about yourself? What have you learned, when it comes to modeling for your family?
Yeah. I mean, once you start tracking, really how much time that you're spending online and all those different things, you look at it and you go, my goodness, am I really, like, you never set out to go, I want to spend 10 hours a day online. Like, nobody, you know, nobody sets that as a goal. It's not one of those things you're like, at the end of the day, I want to say I spent 10 hours online. But at the end of the day, you go, oh no, I spent 10 hours online. So that's one thing that you kind of learn is, even though you don't have to set it, that you accomplish it. So it's better to set, you know, time limits and set other things so that you're not online that much. And the other part is putting successful goals into play as a family. You know, for my family, because I've started different companies and because I travel and speak and, you know, I get to do a lot of different things that I enjoy doing because of that. You know, one of the goals that we set was, hey, this will be a successful week if I'm home 5 days at the dinner table. And not only at the dinner table, but if my device is off during dinner, then guess what? That's a success. Some weeks we know that I'm not going to hit five, I might hit four. And, you know, those are the weeks that because of that, because we've had the goal and because we've had the conversation ahead of time, we can have the conversation after. And it's like, okay, we understand as a family, this is what's going to happen. And even when my kids have seen me struggle with technology in terms of how much I'm using it and all those different things, it's good for me as a parent to say, yes, right now I'm struggling with this. Yes, this is something that I have to deal with as an adult, and you're going to have to deal with as you grow older. I mean, the whole idea is by the time your kids leave your home, you want them to be to have a healthy relationship with technology, meaning they don't have to be filtered. They don't have to be, you know, some of the different things that you will set when they're 8 years old. So having an understanding and an agreement and just a process in place by the time they hit 16, 17 years old that you feel comfortable as a parent, that's the goal. You can't wait till they're, you know, 17 and go, okay, now we're going to start putting filters on you. It might be a little late then.
You might have a little rebellion on your hands.
Yeah, yeah. No joke.
Yeah, yeah. So just a couple more questions as sure. We get ready to wrap up. But so when you look at the church today, how are we doing when it comes to adapting to technology? I always feel like we're severely lagging, but you're more in tune with this and you get around a lot of churches. What are you seeing churches do that you go, hey, they're really on top of this and then maybe some advice of how we can catch up.
So, you know, the advice for use of technology for any church is what are you doing? You know, for me, the measurement of success is what are you doing online that is driving offline conversations? So anything that you're doing, whether it's your church's services that you're streaming online or whether it's, you know, Facebook pages or, you know, anything that even your website, are you asking the question that says, what are we doing to drive offline conversations? Because that's where, you know, a lot of your impact is going to happen. And, you know, a lot of that, what you'll see is, you know, churches like Life Church and churches like even Gateway Church in Dallas-Fort Worth. And I mean, there are quite a few that are asking that question, that are driving conversations that are happening offline. And that's what, when you get excited, because that's when life change happens. Because here's the stats. The more that we look at a screen or interact with a screen, the more we crave real relationships. Mm. So our goal as a church is not to get people to look at more screens. Our goal is to help them have better and more real relationships, which will lead to the real relationship that they have with God. And that's the biggest thing where, and the opportunity I would say that churches have today is understanding that and not being anti-technology again. It's not, or not accepting every single one of them. It's having that relationship with technology and going, okay, what's the end goal? What's the what's the win here? And the win is people being in small groups or Sunday school classes or whatever structure you're in to have better and more real relationships.
Okay. So as we wrap up, what do you hope and dream for this book and for parents and even for the church in general? What's your hope? What's your end goal for all of this?
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, even like in my community, I live in the Atlanta area, and schools are now required to do internet safety courses for parents, at least to offer it. So one of my things is I would love for churches to be able to do that as well, to give parents a trusted source that they can come to say, hey, technology from the faith perspective. So in that term, I would love for churches to hand out or at least make available, you know, copies of the book so that they understand the best way to deal with technology is the relationship that you have with your kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other deal is too, I wrote the book in such a way, it's 100 pages on purpose. So it's very digestible. I do not go into the faith perspective very much, and that's very much on purpose so that possibly schools can start handing it out as well, and it will reach a lot of families, and more families will have a better relationship and have a healthy relationship with technology. Yeah.
So you got me thinking. Here's a great idea for all of our listeners. I would encourage you, get a couple copies of this book, go visit your principal of your school, take it in and hand it to them and say, here, you know, I know you've got this, or maybe they're already doing it. Maybe they're not doing it. And this is an inroad to say, hey, you ought to be doing this for your kids. And here's a great resource that, and who knows, it might even be a door opener for a church to start partnering with a public school by helping it out. Or who knows, maybe you'll even get asked, you know, or you can hook up Matt and say, hey, come on and teleconference in and meet up with it. You know, who knows? But I do think it'd be a good idea. It hit me that I should order a few more copies, and I've got 3 public schools in my area that I could easily go hit the elementary schools. And in fact, I know there's a couple that I think have new principals around, or they've got new leadership anyway. So it'd be a good way to go meet them. So gonna have to look at that.
That'd be great. Churches, you know, we are, so the book actually officially launches September 6th, even though you can go today and buy it on Amazon and buy it on iBooks. And the reason is it was a happy mistake. How's that? I chose a book distribution company called Ingram. And when going through all the stuff, it said pre-order date and sale date and publish date. And the publish date is September 6th for a whole back to school deal. So that this is about the same time that most schools will be doing internet safety. And so September, October, trying to be strategic there. One of the things I wasn't strategic about was I put the pre-order date and the sale date the same date instead of putting the sale date and the publish date. So, you know, happy accident. Quite a few books were sold in July because of it. So again, not everything you do is a win, but you know, you can do a lot of things. But anyway, by September 6th, churches or schools that want to partner and want to, you know, buy more than one copy on Amazon, that will be available on parentchat.com so that they can go and we'll give them a discount because of it.
Cool. Parentchat.com. So make sure you get that. How, Matt, how can people get in touch with you if they want to, if they want to learn more, or if they just want to, you know, follow you on Twitter and all that? I know you're all well connected on the internet. So,
well, here's the good news. I've been doing this technology thing long enough that if you put Matt McKee, M-C-K-E-E, if you put Matt McKee into Google, I'm the first one that pops up.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, you know, whether that is on Twitter, you can go to Matt McKee, or on Instagram, it's Matt McKee. So, you know, there's a bunch of different ways. And I even own mattmckee.me, if you wanted to check out the blog.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks so much for your time and educating us. And really, I hope that our listeners will be challenged to check out the book, but also to consider how, you know, we're always talking about partnering with parents. And this is an area where I think a lot of parents struggle. And I think it would be very valuable for us as leaders to engage them in this area. And I've already got some ideas of how I'd love to have you address my church families, Matt, and do a parent thing and have them come in and ask questions, because I'm sure they have a lot of questions that I can't answer, but I know somebody smarter than me, and his name is Matt McKee, and so I'll just call him.
Thanks for
being on the program, and I really appreciate your heartbeat. And you know, again, leaders, we got to model. That's one of my biggest takeaways today, is just how important it is for us to model it on Sunday mornings. Keep the phone in your pocket so that you're not pulling it out, checking it instead of talking to somebody as they're walking by you. You know, small group leaders can talk to the kids, start asking questions. And encourage your parents to ask those same kind of questions too. I think that'll be huge. So, and check out Circle for sure. Both churches and homes ought to have that. So thanks again, Matt. I really appreciate the time, and look forward to, I'm sure, having you back on again and talk about some more stuff, because I'm sure there's a lot more we could spend time on. But I'll restrain it to this for now. So.
Well, thanks, Tom. I really do appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.